Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. We have been breaking down the weekend's big matchups. Obviously, Saints and Buccaneers on Sunday, and then a big one in Death Valley with LSU hosting Ole Miss. To help us break that game down, Eve Van Pelt, publisher of The Rebel Walk, joins us now here on WWL. Eve, how you been doing?
Doing great. Really excited about this game this weekend.
Evelyn, glad to hear you doing better. I know you had a little surgery and everything. I teach you a lesson. We're not getting younger, okay? The clock is spinning, and you can't push no Jeep, okay? You got to call AAA for that Jeep. You can't be pushing no Jeep around.
What was I thinking? I mean, that was just, I can promise you I won't do that again.
Well, I'm glad.
The crazy thing was my sister, who is 10 years younger than I am, hopped in the driver's seat and said, I'll steer, you push. And I did. So, yeah, never again.
To tell your sister, she going to have to do the pushing next time on that.
Amen.
On offense, this is always a part of a peeve of mine, that when you lose a terrific player, Quinshon Judkins was that for Ole Miss. He was an outstanding running back. Now, I know that was the swirl of the tornado constantly around him once he made a name for himself. And maybe Ole Miss's best running back hasn't played because he's been suspended or, he's not active, so to speak. That part of Ole Miss's game, which I always thought Lane was underrated at, because people always talk about how he throws the ball around, but he really wants to run the ball too, and it's not quite as good as we've seen it the last 2 years. Is it just my imagination? But it doesn't look as effective as it's been the last 2 years, and a lot of that has to do with personnel.
Absolutely. And you're right, and the player you're referring to is, I'm sure, is Ulysses Bentley IV. Things are going to get interesting this weekend because Ole Miss, went and got Henry Parrish back to Ole Miss, and rejoining running back coach Kevin Smith, who had gone to Miami, and then Parrish followed him, and then Smith came back, and now Parrish is back. But the RB2 has been Matt Jones, a former walk-on. And, Ulysses Bentley was relegated to RB3. And so a lot of folks have, had a lot of speculation about that. But Matt Jones, I think, I know he got injured against South Carolina. I would be surprised if he plays against LSU. So now it's going to get interesting. You've got Henry Parrish, and then what do you do after that?
Yeah, it's the list is real short to call the roll after that. Trey Harris, any news about potentially him not playing in this game? I know he left out pretty early last week against South Carolina. I've known Trey for a while, because Trey was a Louisiana guy. And he was sort of on the B list for LSU, goes to Louisiana Tech, and was a good player there. He became a very good player at Ole Miss.
Oh, absolutely. Now, I know Lane told us, and you got to take Lane's injury reports with a grain of salt, but he did tell us, because he doesn't like to talk about it, but Monday he told us if the game were Monday, Trey Harris would not be playing. So I tend to believe him on that. I don't know. I think it would be, you'd be hard pressed to see Trey Harris not at least try and play Saturday against LSU. So if he is out or limited, no doubt Ole Miss's passing attack is not the same. If he's good to go, then I think, things will be a little bit different.
Eva, it has been money well spent NIL money on the improvements they've made on the defensive side of the football, and in particular up front. We're bringing in Prince and also Noel.
Oh, man, I tell you what, I think that to see the Ole Miss defense, and I'd have to go back, and I'd probably have to go back a long time to find it, but, I mean, for the Ole Miss defense to be stopping people the way they are in that defensive front, you're right, Princely, Imani Allen. Now, I will say he did not play against South Carolina, and he may not play against LSU. But to see that, when is the last time you can recall the Ole Miss defense leading the league in rushing defense? They're only giving up 63 yards a game rushing. I don't know. You know, scoring defense, I think they're number three in the nation, maybe only giving up like an average of 7.5 points. So to me, it all starts up front. And I keep, you know, I sound like a broken record. When Ole Miss got just thumped by Georgia last year, and it was a thumping. They got beat. I mean, even Lane admitted, well, you had to admit it because it was obvious on both sides of the line. And he just said, we don't look like those people. We've got to get bigger. And I think in the portal, he went and did that.
You look at this LSU offense coming into this game against the Ole Miss defense. Obviously, the Tigers' offensive line has been highly touted all year long. How is that pass rush of the Rebels going to stack up against this O-line? They're going to do some damage and maybe influence Nussmeier to get rid of the ball a lot sooner.
Well, you know, that's what's interesting to me. I mean, I feel like Nussmeier's getting rid of the ball fairly quickly. I saw something somewhere that said, you know, 2.5 seconds. I mean, I don't know. I mean, they're going to have to get pressure on him. One thing I can tell you is Ole Miss has 5 defensive players with double-digit quarterback hurries. So that is going to be integral. I mean, I know those LSU tackles. I think the Ole Miss defensive players are tired of hearing it. You know, all week the media has been talking to them about, you know, how outstanding the LSU tackles are. And so, you know, that's definitely going to be a challenge. I think while it may hurt them a little bit not to have Princely, I got to tell you, Suntarian Perkins looked really good against South Carolina, and it ended up being Defensive Player of the Week for this week. So, but no doubt they're going to have to find a way to get to Nussmeier, or at least pressure him somewhat. And that's going to be a tall task with that offensive line.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Eva, I think one of the things last year was a shootout that ended unbelievably because Jaden Daniels threw a dart at the final play. I mean, it hit Chris Hilton in a bad spot, right in the hands. He couldn't come up with it, but it was – if you just didn't have –
It was there.
Right. Oh, it was more than there. if you didn't have a dog in the hunt, it was a great game to watch because of the ebb and the flow of the game. I don't know that we'll see that type of game. I think it'll be high scoring, but it can't be like that again. I think it may come down to special teams play. Give us a little rundown of the Ole Miss punting, kicking unit, and also the return games.
Well, I tell you, you know, to be honest, well, the Ole Miss punter, Frazier Messine, is very good. He hadn't had as much work, you know, as a lot of teams' punters because, you know, just Lane's system and his analytics and going for it. But speaking of that, Caden Davis, who is a transferred to Ole Miss last year, kicker from A&M, you know, bless his heart, he'd been hitting, you know, 60-yarders, you know, pregame, and then misses the 58-yarder against Kentucky that could have put that game into overtime. So I know he's just still sick over that. Really, really super kid. in the return game, I think, you know, Ole Miss has a lot of weapons back there. They used to, you know, they used to use Jordan Watkins, and that always made me nervous. They're one of their, he's their slot receiver. And I'm like, we don't need anything happening to Jordan. But they've been using Micah Davis, and he's done a good job. I mean, to me, hang on to the ball. You know, I mean, that's the main thing is hang on to the ball, and he's done a good job with that. So I think, you know, Ole Miss is pretty strong in the special teams game.
One of the things to watch is Xavier Thomas, who has been a terrific return man. You got to see him play a lot. He was at Mississippi State before he transferred to LSU. And he has come close to breaking a couple. And so they're going to have to be careful in their return unit play because, man, Thomas has really, really played well for LSU in the return game. He's given them something they haven't had in years as a real dynamic return man on punts.
Absolutely. And I was doing a little bit of research on him in my kind of scouting of LSU, and I didn't realize he ran the anchor leg on Louisiana's 5A, sixth place 4x100 relay team as a junior back in 2021. So, yeah, he is dynamic. And, yeah, I sure hope Ole Miss is able to account for him in some form or fashion, because you're right. I mean, Ole Miss really hasn't had, they had really good coverage so far this season, and there hadn't really been anything where anybody's just broken loose for huge, huge gains on him. And, but I tell you what, if anybody were to, Xavier Thomas would definitely be my candidate.
Eve, is there anybody on this Ole Miss squad that we haven't really been talking about or may not be as familiar with that we should be worried about going into this matchup?
Well, I tell you what, I go back to, if Ulysses Bentley plays, then I think definitely he is a game changer. I think he's done well. He's played against LSU before. He's got a lot of experience. So if he plays, definitely him. I think that offensive line for Ole Miss is going to be key. They've got their left tackle, Jaden Williams, who was a freshman All-American a couple of years ago, and he is out injured. I do not expect to see him. And so Diego Pounds, a transfer from North Carolina, is playing left tackle. I think that's going to be really important for Ole Miss. They've got to be able to give Dart some time. So I think that he's one to look at. And then, you know, basically the entire secondary, we'll see how they do. I mean, Alabama transfer Trey Amos back in the secondary needs to have a big game.
He's another guy from Louisiana.
Trey. Yes, that's right. I just now realized that. That's right. As soon as I said that, definitely he is. So, man, a lot of talent coming out of the booth there. Yeah, I think he was from New Iberia, I think, if I'm correct.
One of the things with Jackson, and, you know, he's passed for over 70% passing percentage, but I saw the last couple games, and I'll get your thoughts on this. He's given up some easy throws underneath to try to hit the big play. Now, part of that is Lane, mm-hmm. the way he wants his offense run, and also the running element of Dart, because, you know, you can have everything covered, and then all of a sudden he takes off running. He ain't no little bitty guy. I mean, he's a big man breaking downfield, and we saw it a year ago, him make some key plays on third downs with his legs to get first down opportunities. So a little bit about his running skills, but I think the last couple games, he's maybe gotten a little bit greedy, especially in the Kentucky game, and I don't know if it was frustration, but he passed up 8-9 yard kind of easy completions to go for the deep ball. We saw it late in the game, him try that. Mm-hmm. So your thoughts on, he was so good early in the year, and everything worked. And in the last couple of weeks, maybe not quite as well when you're going up against SEC defenses.
Right, absolutely. And to your point, I mean, if you look at passes of 20-plus yards down the field against South Carolina and Kentucky, he was only 3 for 17. So that kind of begs your question, you know, why are we passing up some of those mid-level passes and going for broke? And against Kentucky, Kentucky played three high safeties, and Ole Miss looked confused when Kentucky took away the deeper third of the field, I'll be honest. So, you know, part of it is that, you know, and you're right. I think a lot of that is Lane and his, you know, his system and what he wants to do. But also, thus far in 2024, Trey Harris has 64 targets. Now, you know, granted, he's got an 81% completion rate when targeted, so okay. But the next most target is Juice Wells, and he just has 30. So, you know, that's a big disparity there. And I think, you know, Ole Miss has been a little over-reliant on those explosive 20-plus yard plays. So, and to be honest, when Ole Miss has had the most success, it has been when Jackson has played more of a role in the ground game. So really good point. You're right.
Eve, always appreciate the time. Thank you so much for all the inside info we got on Ole Miss. You can check out all of her work at she's the publisher of TheRebelWalk.com. If you're interested in this matchup, obviously against LSU or anything Ole Miss, check out her stuff there. Again, Eve, thank you so much.
Eve, don't be pushing no
so
Jeeps
much.
No more, and I'm glad you better, gal. I'm glad you better.
I'm done. Thank you so much. I sure
call
appreciate
Mike, he'll get
it.
You out.
Listen, give me a call next time. I'll get you going. I'll get you
okay,
moving.
Okay, I sure appreciate it. Yeah. Take care.
All right. Awesome stuff. Eve Van Pelt, publisher of TheRebelWalk.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.